Hey, what's going on, Outlander fans? Welcome back to Bannix, Bonnets, and Kilts. I am your host, Jenny Coco Cure, and this is episode 22 of Bannix, Bonnets, and Kilts, and we are still rewatching and recapping Outlander from season one. We are now up to episode 7 of Outlander from season one, which is the wedding episode, the all-time favorite episode of Outlander. Everyone loves the wedding. If you're an Outlander fan, you love the wedding. I don't know anybody who doesn't love the wedding episode. This is the episode where Claire and Jamie finally become a couple, become one, are joined together, can finally stop gazing at each other from across the room. And this is where they get to stop all the pretense and just get together. And even though this is an arranged marriage that they were forced into, it couldn't have happened to two people more attracted to each other. And even though Claire is nervous and feeling guilty about Frank, it couldn't happen to two people who are more attracted to each other and connected to each other in some sort of electric way. You know what I mean? It's just written in the stars that they are meant to be together. And this was the catalyst to getting them together. So anyway, the episode starts with Claire and Frank back in the 1930s, I believe. This was a few years before their honeymoon episode, which was in episode one. And they're skipping along down the street, dressed smartly and everything. And Claire, Frank pulls Claire to a stop in front of the courthouse and gives an impromptu marriage proposal to her. They're supposed to be going out to dinner with his parents. And he just proposes to her right there in front of the courthouse and suggests that they go in and get married. And Claire's like, but we're meeting your parents for dinner. He's like, only family I care about right now is you and the family that we're going to make together. So will you marry me? And she accepts, and they skip happily into the courthouse and tie the knot. Then we switch to Claire and Jamie kissing in front of a church full of people as they are joined in matrimony back in the 18th century. So, Claire, after they pull apart and look at each other, Claire looks scared and nervous and guilty, and Jamie looks extremely smug. And he's obviously feeling very happy and comfortable with this, but Claire is feeling awkward. So then we switch to Claire sitting at the dressing table in their bedroom. They're apparently having their honeymoon night above a tavern in a decked out bedroom for them to have their consummation of their marriage. And Claire is sitting in front of that mirror looking guilty, nervous, just contemplating her life. And when Jamie walks in, Claire asks, is the party still going on downstairs? He's like, yeah, they're still there, and they're going to be until we make things official up here. So Claire suggests that they get some drinks going on, and they start drinking, and Claire is like guzzling whiskey like she's going out of style. Jamie lets her know, look, I'm not going to jump on you. You don't have any reason to be nervous. So Claire, says, I know you're not going to attack me. I am just nervous. But anyway, she asks him questions. She starts asking him about himself. They start trying to get to know each other a little bit. And Jamie declares, well, no, I think at this point, before they start talking about each other's backgrounds, she asks him, why did he marry her? Why did he agree to this? And he pretty much tells her that Dougal approached him, told him what was going on, and he decided to do it to protect her, then he declared that she had the protection of his name, his clan, and even the protection of his body, because, that's the kind of man he is. And she liked that, of course, like any woman would. She sat next to him and took him by the hand, and then they started to kiss, but then she interrupted the kiss by saying, tell me about your family. So then he starts to go into this whole thing about his family, his father and mother, how they met and everything. And Claire tells him a little about her family as well, as much as she can, given that she is from the future and she can't, of course, reveal that. And they get comfortable during this. In fact, they get so comfortable that Jamie manages to lie down on the bed next to her and, you know, try to ease her into this comfortable state and feeling. And she's getting there. But then the door bursts open and Rupert and Angus come bumbling in, ruining the mood, and trying to check to see if they had done anything yet. But Jamie jumps up. No, we haven't. Get out. You know, he puts them out. And then Claire asks, were they related to him? And Jamie said only Rupert was, and that he was a distant cousin. So I think after that, Claire suggests that they go to bed. And Jamie's like, well, okay, are we going to bed or are we going to sleep? And Claire gives him the eye. What do you think? You know? So then he helps her with her laces and taking off her corset. He, you know, it's a tedious process because, you know, the lace-up corsets back then were just torture garments. So he was helping her get those off. And by the time he gets her down to her little thin shift, you know, he starts to feel her up a little bit and they start to kiss and everything. And Claire takes off his belt and, you know, and then after they kiss some more, Claire looks at him and says, where'd you learn to kiss like that? And he says, I never said I was a monk, just a virgin. He said, if I need any help, I'll ask. So he turns her around like he's finna mount her from the back. But Claire faces him. She turns back to face him. And then she pulls him on top of her onto the bed, open her legs. And he's in there and he begins to pump away. But he's lying on her really heavily. He doesn't realize that he's squishing her. She says, Jamie, you're squishing me. So he props himself up on his arms and begins to proceed the proper way. And it doesn't take long, only a few pumps. It's his first time. You have to give him that. And then he's done, basically. And he rolls off. And they both lay on their backs looking up at the ceiling afterward. And Jamie looks happy. But Claire looks more amused than I would say happy. And then she looks at him and says, so was it what you thought it would be? And Jamie said, almost. And then he kind of frowned and just said, I thought. And then he shakes his head. Nah, I'm not going to say. And she says, no, tell me. He's like, nah, you'll laugh at me. And she says, I promise I won't laugh. And then he looks at her and he says, well, I always thought you should do it the back way, like horses. And of course she laughs. She couldn't help it. That's hilarious. And she says, I'm sorry. I knew I said I wouldn't laugh, but that's funny. He said, well, let me ask you something else. Did you like it? And then she stops laughing and looks down. And he frowns and he's like, oh, okay. I guess Murtaugh was right about that. So then he sits up and he looks all melancholy, like he, you know, he's thinking about something. And he said, yeah, Ned and Rupert and everybody was telling me last night that women generally don't care for it. So I guess that's true. Now, what I like about this is that he's upset by this. Men in this time, even though I wasn't there personally, when you hear all the stories and read all the books, you come to the pretty clear conclusion that it was all about the men, of course. Nobody cared about the women's feelings. It was about the men's feelings. But what's clear in this moment is that Jamie does care how Claire feels about it. And the fact that she isn't enjoying herself, the idea that she wouldn't be enjoying herself, is really bothersome to him. So that's a very good thing. Very good trait in a guy. So anyway, Claire sits up and looks at him and says, well, actually, Jamie, I did like it. And he looks at her and at first he's a little surprised looking, but then he looks pleased. And she gets up and walks across the room. Her guilt has gotten to her again. And her narrator Claire pops into her head and said, there you have it. Not only was I a bigamist, but an adulteress, and I enjoyed it. So then she wants to go downstairs to get something to eat. Jamie tries to stop her before she goes out the door, but she ends up getting to the door and going out before he can stop her. And the crowd downstairs that is still down there sees her in her shift. And we're like, yay, you guys did it. Wonderful. Of course, Claire is standing up there mortified. She's frozen. Jamie's like, look, I'll go down and get the food. You go back in the room, you know. So she goes back in the room. And when Jamie swaggers downstairs in nothing but his shirt, he's ribbed a little bit. You know, everybody's kind of teasing him, you know, asking him if he bled, you know, something like that. It's very funny. And then, of course, Murtaugh, his boy, pats him on the shoulder, you know. And Jamie collects some food. You know, he's taking the ribbing. He's ribbing back as well. He's giving back as good as he gets. And when he gets a few little items on a plate, he's about to go back upstairs. But then Dougal says to him, aren't you going to thank me? And he says, for giving you somewhere to stick your cock that's better than the fillies in the stable. And I'm thinking, ew, God, I hope he wasn't doing that. But Jamie says, unbothered, truly, thank you. I appreciate it. And he's about to go upstairs again. But then Dougal says, no, sit down. You don't want your new bride to think you're too anxious to please her. So in the next scene, Jamie is right back upstairs with Claire and they're eating. They're sharing the little food that he had brought up. And Claire says, he said that, referring to Dougal. And Jamie says, yeah, he said that you don't want your wife to think you're too eager to please her because she'll have all the power. And Claire rolled her eyes. Really? What'd you say? He says, well, I told him that you have me completely in your power and I was happy to be there. And I said, yeah, that's what a man is supposed to say. Jamie is such a modern day man in the 18th century. Don't you just love him? So anyway, after that, Jamie decides to get up and maybe start to flirt with Claire a little bit more. He's touching on her. He's trying to get the mood going again because, you know, he wants round two, you know, but Claire is. At this point, I think she's let her guilt get to her, so she's cringing. She's kind of pulling her covering over her shoulders and stuff and, you know, trying to avoid his touch a little bit. And he's annoyed by it, so he walks away. And Claire notices, and she apologizes. And then he comes back again, you know, gives her a little more whiskey to enhance the mood. And then he touches her a little bit more, but this time he's playing in her hair. And he calls her Monian Down. And she says, what does that mean? He says, my brown haired lass. And he explains to her how beautiful her hair is because she had said that she thought brown hair was rather dull. He's like, no, not dull at all. And he explains about how that when the sun hits it, there's bits of auburn and how it's like water in a barren. And, you know, he's running his fingers through it, and then he smooths them down the back of her neck and tries to pull her shift over her shoulder, but she pulls it up again. And then she looks down and sees his kilt. She says, you got a new kilt, I see. Changing the subject. And then he, you know, reaches down. You know, he tries to make her comfortable. He doesn't want to push it. So he picks the kilt up and explains to her how he got it. So we have a flashback of how Murtaugh had gone to a woman a few miles away who was a widowed Mackenzie, and she said all she wanted was a little conversation and for him to spend a little time with her, and then she would let him borrow the kilt, but he had to have it back in a couple of days. And you know, Murtaugh was, you know, happy to get the kilt for him and stuff, but he was complaining about how Jamie was going to be recognized and that he was a wanted man and he needed to think about that. He says, what do you think is going to happen if someone spots you with your red hair wearing Fraser colors? You know, you're going to be in trouble. And Jamie says, I'm only going to get married one time and I'm going to do it right. You know, so I ain't worried about all that. So then Jamie asked Murtaugh what he thought of Claire. And Murtaugh thought about it a little bit and he said, you know, your mother had the sweetest smile. Well, Claire's smile is just as sweet. And then we switch back to Claire and Jamie. And Jamie and Claire says, oh, Murtaugh said that. It's rather romantic and surprising. And Jamie says, still waters run deep. So then Claire asks whether or not Murtaugh was a Fraser or a McKenzie. And James says, his name is Murtaugh Fitzgibbons Fraser. So Murtaugh is a Fraser. Anyway, then Claire says, I'm surprised Dougal let him even go and get a kill. He was in such a hurry. And Jamie's like, well, he was, but I slowed him down. So then we have another flashback of, we go back to the scene where Jamie and Dougal and Murtaugh were all discussing how they were going to do this wedding thing. And Jamie says that he would do it, but he had three conditions. And he says, the first condition is that they would have to get married in a church before a priest. So then we flash back again to Willie and Dougal going to this church and basically snatching up this priest, this very annoyed priest, and saying, you're going to perform this wedding and you're going to perform it today. The priest is not having it. He's like, we got too much other stuff that has to be done before we actually perform a wedding. He says, there's protocols. There's things you have to do. And Dougal says, that stuff takes weeks. We don't have that kind of time. We have to do this today. And then the priest said, well, then I guess you ain't getting married. And he also appears to be sick. He's sneezing and coughing and stuff. And they're saying it's cold in this church. And the priest is like, yeah, well, I hate it too. But guess what? I'm not going to perform this wedding today because I told you there's things you have to do first. So Dougal takes out his knife. The priest takes out his little knife too, saying, I got a knife too. So then the priest starts quoting Bible verses to explain, you know, why things have to go a certain way. So then Willie pops up saying, Bible verses to combat the priest, explaining why he should do it, because it's not about protocol. It's about grace. It's about God. So, you know, they go into a verse off, you know, about who can quote the best Bible verse. And Dougal just throws his hands up. Look, we don't have time for this. You're going to do this wedding. He snatches the little priest up. You're going to do this wedding today. And the priest says, look, I don't care if you kill me. At least I won't have to spend one more day in this miserable freezing box, referring to the church. And Dougal looks around, notices that the church has no windows. He looks at the priest. He says, what if we had proper, what if we put proper windows on this church? And the priest kind of looks like, So then we flash back to Claire and Jamie in their bedroom. And Jamie says, well, after the priest hears that, he says to Dougal, when will the ceremony begin? So Claire's like, yeah, church and money, nothing ever changes. So anyway, she asks, what was the second condition? So then we flash back to Rupert and Angus shopping for the wedding bands. Well, not shopping. They go to a blacksmith and present him with a key. And they say, we need you to make a wedding band for a lass. It has to be made out of this key. The blacksmith's like, this is a perfectly good key. We shouldn't melt it down. And Rupert is like, no, keep the part at the end that goes in the lock and the other end. And the blacksmith says, you mean the blade and the bow? And Rupert's like, yeah, that part. So Jamie wanted a key made into a wedding band, but keep the blade and bow, so that the key would still work. And when they switch back to Claire and Jamie in the bedroom, Claire's like, okay, it's a key. The key to what? And Jamie looks away and walks away from her and says, oh, just something I had in my sporran. Obviously, that's not true. But at this point, we don't know yet what it's a key to. But it's kind of clear it's an important key to him. So anyway, and then Claire asks, what was the third condition? So then we switch to Ned getting Claire a dress. And he feels that the best place to go looking is at a whorehouse for some reason. So Ned is at this whorehouse surrounded by whores, half naked. They're all trying to get with him because that's what they do. And he's trying to explain that he needs a dress for a bride. And And they're making some suggestions, but Ned is like, well, you know, the bride is not a, he was gonna say whore. But one of the women said, she's not a woman of loose morals. No, she's not. So then the madam approaches him with this apparent dress wrapped up in like a cloak. And she explains to him how this important man had once visited the tavern before he, not the tavern, the whorehouse, the brothel. And before he had gotten there, he had been gambling and lost his money. So when he got there, he was, empty-handed except for that dress. So he decided to exchange the dress for a fun time. The dress was for his wife, and he had bought it in Paris and was going to give it to his wife. But, apparently having a good time in a whorehouse was more important than giving his wife that dress. So he gave it to them in exchange for his fun. And she said she'd never worn it, and she would give it to Murtaugh, I mean to Ned, for a shilling. So Ned said, okay, that sounds good, he went through his purse, clinking all his little money around. When they saw that, it was like, ooh, he's got money. So the madam elbowed one of the girls, and the girl was like, oh, do you have to run off? And the madam says, well, we have to wrap this up and prepare it for the weather. While we're doing that, you can have a little fun here. And one of the girls pulls Ned off and pulls him upstairs. He's like, oh, don't rush, don't rush, slow down. So Claire, and Jamie, they were cracking up, and Claire's like, you're lying. And Jamie said, well, I'm telling you the way Ned said it to me. Didn't you see the strumpet at the wedding? And Claire was like, oh, that's who that was? I didn't know. I just thought she was a guest. So anyway, Jamie says, well, what were you doing all day during all of this? And Claire held up her liquor bottle, and Jamie says, oh, okay. Then we have a quick little flashback of Claire groaning and moaning on a mattress, and Murtaugh standing over her and saying, all right, you need to start getting ready now. Get up. You don't want to go to your wedding looking like a melted candle. And he has two women with him, and they put a mirror in front of Claire, and Claire sits up, looks in the mirror, and she's looking a hot mess. She goes, oh, okay. And she's obviously really drunk. So, then we switch back to Jamie and Claire, and they're laughing at this memory. And Jamie says, so you don't have any memory of what happened? And Claire says, I remember some things, but not a whole lot. But then Jamie says, well, I remember every moment, every second. And then we have this beautiful flashback, of him walking out into the sunlight, dressed up in his formal dress clothes with his kilt draped over his shoulder with his brooch, and his hair is all clean and shiny. He's clean for the first time, I think, since this show started. No, that's not true. I think he was clean during the gathering too. But he's clean, he's shiny and new, and he looks gorgeous. And when he walks out into the sun and sees Claire, she's standing there. She's got the cloak wrapped around her, but then some woman comes up and pulls the cloak off and exposes her dress. And it's a beautiful silver gown with these little shiny leaf design thingies all over the front and down the lace in the front. And it has lace sleeves and a really tight bodice that is squeezing her tiny little waist. Looks like it's like 15 inches around. And her hair is in an updo with little curly tendrils hanging down, framing her face a little. And she just looks gorgeous. She's glowing. And when Jamie sees her, when everybody sees her, they just smile because she looks beautiful. Jamie looks floored. He looks like his mouth is about to drop open, but then he gets himself together. He walks to her, then bows deep and says, your servant, madam. And then Claire looks at him. She's looking kind of scared, like she's just gonna bolt at any moment, but she stands her ground. And she says, I can't marry you. I don't even know your whole name, your real name. And then Jamie says, oh, well, it's Fraser. James Alexander Malcolm Mackenzie Fraser. And of course, this is the first time we had heard Jamie give her his real name, his whole name. Because as we all know, before this, he'd pretty much been letting her call him Mr. McTavish. So he introduces himself. Then she says, "I'm Claire Elizabeth Beecham." And she extends her hand to him for a handshake. He misunderstands, of course, and he takes her hand and holds it and nods at her. And Dude was like, "Okay, if y'all are quite finished, let's get on with this." He looks annoyed as fuck. He's jealous. So at this point, we're kind of clear that Dougal has a little crush on Claire or is attracted to her. And even though he knows that Jamie should be the one to marry Claire, he doesn't like the fact that they actually really like each other. And that maybe possibly Jamie could get Claire to like him. So anyway, they go into the church. The ceremony begins. They exchange their vows. Oh, yeah. Before Claire goes into the church, she takes off her gold wedding band that Frank had given her, and she drops it into her bodice, you know, because she doesn't want to feel guilty for having her wedding band to Frank on as she marries another man. So anyway, they go into the church. They say their vows. She's repeating after Jamie and speaking some of the vows that they have to be spoken in Gaelic. At one point, Dougal gets up, slices Jamie's wrist, and then takes Claire's and slices hers. You know, not too deep, of course. And then they put their wrists together and Dougal ties them with a ribbon. And then they have to exchange some other vows. Blood of my blood, bone of my bone. You know, some sort of commitment that deals with like a blood bond, you know. Then the priest blesses the ring. Jamie puts it on the finger. Or is that before the wrist thing? Probably before. I don't know. I'm getting mixed up. At any rate, after all of this, the priest finally announces them husband and wife. And then they kiss again. And we notice that Claire, for some reason, even though she's looking fearful and nervous the whole time, when they do the kiss, she leans into it and is really eager with the kiss. So after they break apart, Jamie gives her a little smirk. And then we flash back to Jamie and Claire, and they're sitting on the bed in their honeymoon suite again. And Jamie says, "When you kiss me like that, I thought maybe you weren't so sorry to be marrying me after all." And then Claire touches his hand and then his arm. And he looks at her and they stare at each other. And then she gets up and walks across the room and faces him and says, "Take off your shirt. I want to see you." So Jamie obliges. He gets up, takes off his shirt, lets Claire walk around him, examining him from head to toe. And we get a good look too. And it's cool. So then when she's done, he said, "Fair is fair. Now take off yours." And she takes off her shift. She drops it to the floor. And we get a view of her willowy frame. And Jamie backs up to get a good look. And Claire is like, "Have you never seen a naked woman before?" And he gets closer to her and said, "Not one so close. And not one that's mine." So then he grabs her up. They start kissing again. And then he pulls her up onto him. And she hops up and straddles him. And, Anyway. So she hops up and straddles him. And he takes her to the bed, puts her down. And in this scene, in this intimate scene, they have their first rip-roaring, serious hot exchange. this is their second consummating of their marriage. Well, this isn't consummating anymore. This is just doing the do. So in this one, it's very intense. It's very, my cat is literally biting my ankles right now. Get away from me! So anyway, they're going at it, and it's very graphic. They show damn near everything. And Jamie's going at it so hard. At one point, Claire shouts out and he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you." And Claire says, "Oh, you didn't hurt me." And then it becomes clear to him that that wasn't pain. That was her shouting out her climax. And he says, "Oh my God, I didn't know that women could, does that happen every time?" And she's like, "Only if the man is a really good lover." So then she flips him over on his back. She starts to bite him, nibble him. He's like, "Ow." She's like, "Does that hurt?" He's like, "Yeah, a bit." She says, "Do you want me to stop?" And she's nibbling down his chest and down to his stomach. He says, "Nah." So then when she goes a little further down, we see a close-up of his face, and he opens his mouth and looks shocked. And then he looks like he's really, really enjoying whatever she's doing. So it becomes clear that Jamie is getting his first BJ, which is cool. So he's owing and on, and, you know, finally at one point he tosses his head back. He's had his happy time again. And then Claire moves up his body, and he says something in Gaelic. And Claire says, "What does that mean?" He says, "I thought my heart was gonna burst." So then she, you know, lies next to him smiling. But when she looks over at him again, he's asleep. So I'm like, "There you go, Claire. That's how you do it. You put him to sleep, baby. Rock him to sleep." So she gets up and goes over to see if there's any more whiskey. There isn't. So she gets wrapped up in Jamie's quilt, not quilt, his kilt, and she goes downstairs to get something more to drink. Everybody's gone now. The whole party's over. There's no one down there. She grabs a jar off the table that's, you know, filled with something, maybe wine or liquor, and she goes back upstairs to get it. You know what? I'll have to pause for a moment. I think my cat is trying to get my attention because he's eaten all his food and I'm ignoring him. He's trying to attack me. One moment. And we're back. Oh, my cat is hilarious. He had to get my attention so that he could get his bowl filled. And now someone's knocking at my door. All right. If that is all for the interruptions, let's try to get back into this. Okay. So Claire sees a jug on the table with liquor or whiskey in it and grabs it to take it back upstairs. But before she could get back upstairs, there someone comes in. She looks around and sees that it is Dougal. And Dougal, you know, says hello to her and tells her that he has gone to see Captain Blackjack Randall to give him the news that Claire has been married and is now a Scot. And Claire is like, "Well, how did he take the news?" And Dougal was like, "Well, even your ears have to be a little sensitive to some forms of language." So we can be clear that Black Jack was very upset. So Claire was like, "Well, then he'll drop it. He's not going to pursue it any further, is he?" And Dougal's like, you know, I doubt it. He's got bigger things to do than chasing around a stray Sassenach, no matter how pretty. And Claire says, "Oh, well, okay, thanks." So she tries to go back upstairs, but Dougal grabs her arm and he says, "You know, I have to give you credit for doing your duty by marrying Jamie, but know that that doesn't mean you can't sample other pleasures." And he touches her on the chin, and I'm like, "Oh my God, he's really going to do this." And Claire looks at him like, "But I'm Jamie's wife." And Dougal pauses. His little flirt game is frozen. He he drops his hands and backs up a little bit from her. Claire's looking at him like he's crazy. Like, "I just married your nephew, you sick, sorry sucker, you." And then thankfully Rupert comes in, and you know, Claire starts to leave again. She goes to the stairs just as Rupert is saying, "Hello, madam, Mistress Fraser," or I don't know what he calls her. I think he refers to her as Fraser because now she's married to Jamie. And she says, "Hi, Rupert. And I wanted to thank you again for the lovely ring. It was gorgeous." You know, because she knew that Rupert was the one that went and Angus had gone to get the ring from the blacksmith. And Rupert says, "You're welcome, ma'am. And might I say, congratulations on your wedding." And Claire said, "Thank you." And she moves upstairs. Mind you, Claire is wrapped in a kilt and nothing else. And her hair is like crazy all over her head. So as she's going upstairs with her little picture and her wild, crazy hair wrapped in Jamie's kilt, Rupert leans into Dougal and says, "You know, Jamie might be inexperienced, but that one looks well written." Dougal can't stand that. So he punches Rupert right in the face. And Rupert's like, "What did you do that for?" And Dougal's like, "Go check the horses." Rupert said he already did. And Dougal was like, "Check him again." So Rupert, you know, huffs out, you know, and Dougal starts drinking something. And even though Claire is almost to the room, she didn't quite make it to the room and saw this entire exchange. But then she goes into the room, and a little later we see Jamie is still asleep, but then he starts to wake up. He looks across the room and he sees that Claire is up. She's sitting wrapped in his kilt at the window looking out. And then he gets up and he goes to his sparring and pulls something out of it and then approaches Claire. By the way, this is a great shot of him walking across the room to her, booty naked. But unfortunately, the angles and the shadows are hiding all the naughty bits, so you can't see any of that. But still a great, really nice shot of him and his nice body walking across the room. So he comes, he approaches her from behind. He drapes these pearls over her shoulders, over her, across, around her neck. Then he sits next to her and starts to explain that the pearls are Scotch pearls, and they were his mother's, and they were the only thing that he had left of her, and they're very precious to him. Then he says, "As are you, Claire." And Claire's staring at him, and then she turns to face him and straddles him as he's sitting there, and she takes the quilt that's the kilt that is wrapped around her and wraps around the both of them, and they proceed to make love in that position. And this time, the third time, it is very gentle, very sweet. They're gazing at each other and smiling and rocking back and forth, and it's very intimate and very bonding. So they've had three sex sessions so far this night. The first one was the consummation, the breakthrough, which was short and a little awkward, but still got the job done. Then we had this second rip-roaring one, the one where Jamie was putting it down and made Claire have her big O. And he got his first BJ. Then we had the third one where it was gentle and sweet and bonding and loving even. And yeah. Very important, all three. So anyway, the next morning we have Claire and Jamie getting up and getting their day started. Jamie's fully dressed and he's telling Claire that he needs to go get something to eat or else he's going to take a bite out of her. And she says, "I think you already did that." And he kisses her and he says, "And I can't wait to do it again." He says, "Come on, hurry up or there'll be nothing left but crumbs." So he leaves. And Claire sees a wedding dress and takes it and shakes it out. But when she shakes it, the ring that she had put in it the other day, the day before, when she dropped her gold wedding band down her bodice, pops out, rolls across the floor, and settles in a crack. She goes over to pick it up, and she puts it back on her finger. And she's now wearing both rings, the gold band and the key band that Jamie had made for her. And she stares at her hands. And then the episode ends. That's the end of the episode. So, of course, that prophetic moment at the end is, of course, her realizing, or maybe she always realized it, of course, but it's her just thinking and focusing on the idea that now she is married to two men, one in the past and one now in the time that she's currently in. Not in the past, in the future. Frank is in the future. So she's married to Frank in the future, and she's now married to Jamie in the 18th century. So, and she's going to wear both these rings because she's still married to both these men, and she's devoted to both these men. She is going to be devoted to Jamie as long as she is married to him. And she's also still devoted to Frank. So there you have it. All right, guys, looking at this again and rewatching it for the God knows the umpteenth time was just fun. It's always fun to go back. I love looking at all the older episodes. I haven't watched season one in a little bit of a while. So it's just nice to go back and see, you know, all of this stuff from, you know, the first season, and to relive it and to just enjoy it again. So that's pretty much it for that. Now, next week, we are going to be recapping the 8th episode of Outlander, which is going to be Both Sides Now. Now, Both Sides Now was a controversial episode, I think, when it first aired, because some of the fans didn't like the switching back and forth from Frank's time. They thought, this is when we start noticing that Frank is getting a lot more airtime than he did in the book. And he's getting a lot of airtime on the show. And a lot of fans who don't like Frank had a problem with that. But I personally like seeing more of Frank's perspective. So that's the episode that we will be recapping next week. Until then, guys, thank you for tuning in. And have a great rest of your week. And we will try really hard to get this next episode, episode 23 of Bannocks, Bonnets, and Kilts, up on Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And also, I apologize for this episode being late. I said it was going to be up by Wednesday. First, it was supposed to be up by Sunday. Then I was supposed to have it up by Wednesday. And now it's Thursday morning and you're getting it now. But hey, better late than never, right? Okay. All right. Thanks again, guys. Have a good rest of your week. Enjoy. Bye-bye.